Hey girls, welcome to the Go Girl Podcast, because women are powerful. I'm your host, Ashley Caprice. Each episode is about self-love, self-care, and self-discovery. Tune in for affirmations, motivation, girl talk, and girl power. Now let's get it started. Go girl. Hey girls, welcome back to another episode of the Go Girl Podcast. This week's episode is going to be fun, especially if you watch Love is Blind. I'm on season 6, that's the latest season, and there has been a lot of controversy around it. First of all, the season has been kind of slow, kind of boring, but very interesting in other ways, which we're going to get into today. And if you haven't watched Love is Blind, it's totally okay. I'm going to share some details about it, but if you have watched it and you're not up to date, then I might share some spoilers in this episode. Today, the reunion episode comes out, so I can't wait to watch it tonight because I'm hoping that the cast decided to reflect and come in with some lessons, because there was a lot for them to learn during this season of Love is Blind. Now, the concept of the show is pretty much people are on the show and they're talking in these pods. So there's a wall between you and your potential partner, and you're only talking to them, getting to know them, hopefully, on a deeper level, because you can only talk. You can't see what they look like. They're blind in that sense. However, you can fall for the person based on what they're saying, based on your connection through your conversation. So it's a pretty unique show, you know, and I think it could work. It has worked for some couples in the past. Congratulations to them. However, this season brought along one couple. They worked out. However, the other 4 or 5 couples did not work out. And I don't think many of us are surprised. Okay, so I'm going to talk about the show. With one thing I think is missing from the whole season is accountability. And that's what we talk about all the time on a Go Girl Podcast. We are not pointing fingers about who should do what, why did someone treat me like that? The Go Girl Podcast is about self. It's about self-love, self-care, self-discovery. How can I show up better? How can I have better discernment, trust myself more, know what signs to look out for, know when to walk away from a situation? We're about self, which is all accountability. Accountability. And I think this season of Love is Blind, again, I said it was kind of slow and boring. However, it was entertaining in some ways. And I think a lot of it is very relatable, and people could probably see themselves in a lot of these characters. So I'm going to talk about 2 couples because they stuck out the most to me in the sense that they needed a little more accountability. All right. So the first couple is Clay and AD. AD, beautiful, gorgeous Clay. You know, he looks good in his own right, I guess. So, you know, they talk to each other through the pod. They fell for each other, I guess, you know. And when they saw each other, it was even more attraction, totally into each other physically. You can tell. When AD introduced Clay to her mother, she was all about, yeah, but doesn't he look good? He look good, huh? And AD said in an episode that she's not good with red flags. She could walk by red flags. She has so many red flags in her face that she could paint her nails red because she just misses all the red flags. So in that sense, I think that's where she needs to take accountability. At the end, she and Clay did not end up marrying each other. She said, yes, I do at the altar. He said, no. The thing is, there were so many signs throughout the whole season that let me and maybe like any other viewer think that, okay, he is a walking red flag and she should not pursue this relationship. Let me tell you why. First, I don't feel bad for AD. If you follow me on TikTok at I Am Ashley Caprice, you could see that I've been talking about Love is Blind and having reactions to it like all within the past week. But I don't feel bad for AD. I feel bad as far as I have empathy for the girl because we've all been there. We've all been into someone and giving, and the person taking, or they're just not taking because you're giving. So they're just receiving it and not reciprocating that love. We've probably all been fixers, right? And we see someone that has so much potential, the word I can't stand when it comes to dating, has so much potential, and we give it a try. Although there are so many signs that say, alert, alert, red flag, go the other way. Clay said to her so many times that he wasn't ready. What if the date for the wedding comes up and he says no? He's talking to her about this. He, oh my gosh, in like every episode, talked about how his father cheated on his mother so much. He saw so many examples of unhealthy relationships. He kept talking about how his father cheated on his mother so much. Some people on TikTok were saying, well, that doesn't mean he's going to cheat. He didn't say he is. However, subconsciously, a lot of us run into the very thing we're trying to run away from. So if he continuously brings this up, I don't want to cheat on you. I don't want to cheat on you. All I've seen is cheaters. All I've seen is unhealthy relationships. All I've seen is unhealthy Black love. However, I don't want to cheat on you. I don't want to cheat on you. My dad cheated on my mom all the time. My dad even took me with him to some of his cheating excursions. But I don't want to cheat on you. It's like if he has that much fear, he's going to run right into that fear and he's going to break that poor girl's heart. So I felt like AD should have been better as a listener. Instead, she took everything he said. And this is the thing. He said one time, I'm so effed up. And she's like, oh my God, I think that's so powerful that you could admit that. I'm like, girl, what? No. Sometimes people are so honest with their disrespect. You love the honesty. Like, wow, I love you being honest. It's kind of like someone saying, hey, I cheated on you. But they're being honest with you. So you're like, oh, well, thanks for being honest. It's like, no, but did you hear what they said? They cheated on you. They disrespected you. So don't get comfortable tolerating the disrespect. This man, Clay, said, I'm effed up. He knows that. And she's like, oh, like, I love that you could say that. Like, no, girl, we need to ask him some questions. In what ways are you effed up? What are you doing to not be effed up anymore? How are you showing up effed up in a relationship? How can I trust you if you're not trusting yourself to not be effed up? Like, there are so many questions that I think she needs to ask instead of just being so turned on that he knows that he's effed up. So in so many ways, I felt like AD needed to take accountability. If anyone knows her out there, share this episode with her. I would love to be her dating coach because she just needs a little help, a little healing. I recall in an episode she mentioned she didn't have the best relationship with her father. And sometimes that is a thing too in dating. You try to recreate your childhood or recreate your dynamic and relationship with one of your caregivers, but now in your actual relationship. So because she didn't have the best relationship with her father, she comes into contact with men who are not 100% there for her, like her father wasn't. And she's trying to prove to them, like, no, like I'm everything you need. I'm good enough. After the whole altar situation and they decided not to marry, she was crying so hard in the back room saying, oh my God, I just want to be good enough. Like, she doesn't feel good enough. And you are enough with or without a partner. All of you out there are enough with or without a partner. However, in her case, is deeply rooted in her childhood, I think, with her relationship with her father. And when she heals more of that, then she'll learn, like, okay, I'm good enough with or without a man. And I need to notice better signs from a man. Like, her picker is just all off. She's beautiful. She seems like she does well for herself. She keeps herself up, keeps herself together. However, more accountability as far as being a better picker. She needs to choose better people to be in her life. She got the women down packed. It seemed like her friends, her mother, like they all had her back. When she left the altar, they all just got up with her and was there for her. She's awesome with the women. And so it's like getting that man, that male figure. So I would also recommend some therapy for her or some coaching, but she needs some accountability. She needs to know, okay, something is not right. She's aware that she's notices red flags, and then she keeps walking into the red flag and getting burned. It's like, you can walk the other way, sis. If the red flag is all in your face, dangling in your face, don't paint your nails red. Paint those nails clear for a second and try to clear yourself from the red flags. So she needs a little more accountability in that regard. And even Clay told her, like, hey, I might say no at the altar, but he was hoping that he could still keep a relationship with her. And she's like, no, if it's a no at the altar, then I'm done. So So we'll see at the reunion if they kept in touch. I hope not. I hope she just let it go. What I do like about her, she does seem open for a relationship. And I like that. I like that she's open. She's vulnerable. She's willing to put herself out there for love. She's willing to take that risk. And that's all good. Good, great qualities. However, I just think she needs to pay attention more to what someone's saying to her. Really, really take it in and listen and see what they're telling you. And if something seems off and there seems like a lot of red flags, don't walk into it. Just know when to say, okay, this is not going to work for me. Let me move on. She cannot be mad at anyone but herself. Hopefully she really watches the episode, takes things in. I mean, watch some videos or mine on TikTok just to see what people are saying and really understand where she's going wrong when dating. But to any woman who's going through something similar, you definitely are good enough. And if you feel rejected, then instead just like gracefully bow out and just know that that's just not your person. Okay. So Clay, the man that she was just all into, now he was very upfront and honest. Like I said, he mentioned to her, hey, I'm effed up. You know, he's aware he got things to work on. He told her he'll go to therapy. However, with him, he's like, oh, I'll go to couples therapy. And I'm just like, no, bro, man, you need individual therapy too. He needs therapy based on the different things that he saw in his own childhood. His parents were together, married for 25 years. And a lot of the times he said he was witnessing his father cheating on the mother. And he went with his father to go cheat on the mother. Like, he's a young boy taking this in. So this is the relationship model that he has. And this is why he's like, I don't know. He might cheat on her, on AD. It was sounding like he can't trust himself. And if you can't trust yourself, no one else is going to be able to trust you. If you can't trust yourself, then you're going to do some things that's disrespectful to the relationship. So he needs to take accountability as far as going to therapy, meeting with someone and working that stuff out with his relationship with his father, with things that happened with his mother, with just being honest with women, but being more honest as far as maybe being open about his feelings for women, not being honest about how effed up he is, how much work he needs. Like, if you need all that work, bro, you need to handle that before going on a show where you're supposed to get married at the end. You're not ready for marriage at all. Take accountability. Also, you're on this show about marriage and at the middle, you're like, oh, I might say no and this and that. If you're not into it, then why are you on the show? Take accountability. It's unfair for people who are there for the true experience. Because he over there playing games. And they were physical with each other. I think with that couple, if they were my clients, I would have told them, because they're so physically attracted to each other, to not take it there. I would have wanted them to go a little deeper in their conversation, getting to know each other before they became physically intimate. There are so many other ways to be intimate, learning more about them and their childhood, learning more about how their mind works and how they think, learning more about their views on certain topics and situations, learning more about how their future is going to look, their goals. What does it look like if we had children together? What does it look like if we put our money together? What does it look like when our parents get older? What does it look like if my health starts deteriorating? Like, they needed to have more real conversations than just, oh, I'm effed up. Oh, that's so powerful. What? Or, oh, my dad was cheating in the past. Again, have those conversations, but have great follow-up questions. So I don't know if AD didn't ask questions. Again, the editors, it was kind of choppy sometimes. I'm very particular about that because you don't know, I work at a podcast network and I'm editing conversations all the time. So I understand the editor's point of view and what they could take out and what they could leave in. That was a side note. So I don't know if the editors took out some of her follow-up questions and responses, but it just looked like she was just taking and receiving all of what Clay was saying and not asking those good questions to get to know him better. I think with a little work, they could have worked out. Again, it just needs to be deeper than the physical, Clay needed to take accountability for being on a marriage show, even though he didn't want to be married yet and didn't feel like he was ready to be married yet. He needs to take more accountability with things that he's gone through in his past. And bonus accountability when it comes to Clay, his daddy. Okay, if you watch this show, oh my gosh, Clay's mom talked to his dad about how they showed up in their relationship, how the father showed up in a relationship, and how that impacted Clay. Clay's mom read the father for filth in such a classy way. She's beautiful inside and out. She maintained her composure. It sounds like from this season is when she first found out that Clay went with the dad on those trips of him cheating. The dad was still so immature. So he needs accountability because he was so immature and just like still trying to flirt with her while she's telling him like, no, like the dad was like, oh yeah, he needs a woman like you, like his mama. She's like, no, because you had me and you weren't good to me. So it's like, Clay don't need another person like me because then he ain't going to be good to her pretty much. So it's just a cycle that needs to break. The thing is, Clay has that power to break that cycle. The fact that it seems like he's very aware of what he was exposed to when he grew up, the fact that he knows like, okay, this is a problem and I'm effed up because of it. He has the power to challenge that and go get some help so that he's not doing the same thing, so that he's not then having a son who said, well, yeah, my dad always cheated. You know, it's just the cycle needs to break. Break those generational habits, break those generational curses. While Clay's mom was talking to the dad blamed his own dad. It's like, when does it end? When does it stop? Who's going to stop blaming who? And who's going to actually start doing the work? So Clay needs to take accountability. Clay's dad needs to take accountability because these men are passing down these horrible habits and they're affecting the women. Take some accountability. All right. So that's AD and Clay. The next and last couple that I'm going to talk about is Jimmy and Chelsea. All right. Like AD, Chelsea's picker is also off. She was in the pods having a great connection with this guy named Trevor. And at the end, she chose this guy named Jimmy. Trevor even told her, like, so you're going to go with the guy who's kind of unsure about you. And he has another woman that he's checking for instead of the man who's 100% sure about you. Trevor was talking about himself. He was all for Chelsea. And we were all like, yes, Chelsea, that's who you need. Go for him. And she still went with the guy who picked her first. This is the thing. There's a day where the guy proposes to the woman. And so Jimmy went first to propose to Chelsea. So she said yes. And then Trevor went to propose, but she already said yes to Jimmy. So she couldn't say yes to Trevor. I honestly think, and Trevor even asked this twice, asked her, hey, if I went first, would you have said yes to me and then no to Jimmy? I just think Chelsea has a thing with wanting to be chosen. She was very emotional the whole show. She had a lot of anxiety. I talked about this on my TikTok as well at I Am Ashley Caprice, where I talked about some of the attachment styles in these relationships. And like Chelsea came off as very anxious attached. She did not like her partner not being with her. The partner, Jimmy, left for an hour at one point, and she was so distraught over it and said, I don't want anyone who's going out. It's like, girl, he went to his friend's birthday event for an hour, and she was crying, tripping. She was crying a lot. She was kind of, it was a lot. It was a lot for me to even watch. And she just needed so much reinforcement. I've come from that anxious background too, so I get it, but I wasn't that bad with it. It was a lot. She always needed to hear I love you and great things about her. She needed constant validation, reinforcement. She needed the reassurance. And she would say, like, you don't tell me you love me enough. And he's like, I said it to you twice today. It's like it wasn't enough for her. Or if he did say it, it was like, well, you didn't say it in this way. Like she needed, it was a lot. It was honestly a lot. And I felt bad for her. And I feel bad for like anybody who's like that. Like I said, I've had anxious thoughts before and needed like the constant reassurance before. So I kind of get it, but it was just a lot to watch. So if you're an anxious attachment, you might recognize yourself in Chelsea. Because I posted about it on TikTok and someone asked, like, oh man, well, how does someone stop being anxious? Then I listed a few things. I said, hey, that's where some positive words of affirmation come in. You're telling yourself the positive things so you don't have to wait for someone else to tell you how great of a person you are. You might need a journal and write down your thoughts and your feelings instead of just spewing it all out onto your partner. You might need to just take a break, take a breath, take a beat, relax for a second instead of reacting to whatever action they're giving you or they're not giving you. These are just a few things. Also, if you're just dating someone and they haven't called you yet or they're taking too long to text you back, girl, get busy. You still have a life without that person. So again, take a break, take a beat, take a breath, relax a little bit, call a friend instead of calling him again, you know, like know who you are, know your activities, things you like doing before this person was even in your life and do that. If you love dancing, turn on some music and start dancing instead of thinking about what that person is doing, why they aren't calling you back. Are they rejecting you, abandoning you, leaving you? Whatever story's coming up in your head, do something for yourself instead to feed yourself some love, some self-love, instead of coming up with all of these scenarios in your mind of why they have not hit you back, why they have not reached out to you. Telling you, I've been there before, and that's why I know some of these coping mechanisms. But I want to help you girls out because I know that a lot of anxious, avoidant attachment styles link up together, and it's a lot of the same type of scenarios and dynamics. So it's quite common, actually. But you have the tools within you. You have the tools within a therapist, you have the tools within a Go Girl podcast to help you out, to help you get through those anxious thoughts, okay? Chelsea needed to take some accountability to know that her picker is off. She needs to take some accountability and know that sometimes, not that she's asking for too much, but that she's enough as well, right? Like, if he says he loves me, I need to learn to believe that instead of being like, he needs to say that he loves her in this way, at this time, at this hour, and right? Like, it's kind of like she's nitpicking with her partners and trying to find something wrong with what they are doing. On the other hand, she has Jimmy. And Jimmy, to me, comes across as a little more avoidant attachment. If you don't understand the attachment styles, I had on Dr. Morgan 3 times on my show talking about attachment theory. She's actually the one who interviewed me in last week's episode of my Go Girl podcast. So you can go to gogirlmovement.org, search Dr. Morgan, and all of those episodes where she came on talking about the different attachment styles will pop up for you, okay? So Jimmy, to me, he comes across as a little more avoidant, right? So Chelsea needs all this constant reassurance and all this attention and love. And he's like, hey, you're clingy. I'm sorry, that's what avoidants say too. You're too needy, you're too clingy, you want too much of me. And he said that to her on the show, and I was like, ouch. Again, I've been there, I've heard that before. And I wasn't even like her. I'm like, what? I'm clingy? You only got to say that once to me, and I will fall all the way back. Just because I show a little love, I'm clingy? So I felt for Chelsea in that moment, and felt for any other person who's ever heard that. Let me stop, because then on the flip side, I have had men who are clingy, and I'm like, yo, but to me, my clinginess that I was told about in the past, someone called me clingy, I was so not. It was just like, I had wanted to see him and he said I was clingy. Like, what? Whatever. But there is some clingy out there to me that's like, it's just a lot. It's just a whole lot. So I sit on both sides of that. But also, I used to be a more disorganized attachment style. So sometimes I was more avoidant, sometimes I was more anxious. So if I was in my avoidant era, then someone probably was too clingy for me. If I was in my anxious era, then I probably was too clingy for that person. Anyway, if you get it, you get it. If that went over your head, again, listen to attachment styles episodes. But Jimmy told Chelsea she's too clingy. I felt like he needed more accountability with how he was talking to Chelsea at times. He was calm, but sometimes he was like that, like, you're too clingy. Like, what? Like, what? Say what it is that you need. Like, hey, I'm sharing this with you sometimes it feels like it is too much for me, instead of labeling with her. I also felt like he needed more accountability when it came to outsiders in his life. Like, there was an episode where he was flirting with AD. Again, she has a great body. And he told Chelsea about the girl's body and making comments about AD and flirting with her right in front of Chelsea. And there was like no accountability there. Again, no accountability. He slept with one of his female friends. And Chelsea says she feels really uncomfortable with him being out with that female friend. Like, he constantly talks to the female friend. He texts her all the time. And he hangs out with her. And Chelsea was trying to be cool with it. But she said, hey, this really makes me feel uncomfortable. And she talked about this on camera. And he was upset, more upset at Chelsea for bringing that up. Because I guess that was a conversation they had without the cameras. And he was just trying to be honest with her about this female friendship. And she brought it to camera, which could, you know, do some harm with his friendship with the girl. If the girl's in another relationship with a new guy, that guy might look at Jimmy different. You know, I understand. It kind of broke their trust between Jimmy and Chelsea. However, I felt like with her mentioning how it made her feel, that she was uncomfortable with him hanging out with a friend, he took no accountability for that, to understand why. It was more upset that she even said that on camera. So a lot of his accountability, again, came from some of his comments and some of the other situations he had going on outside of Chelsea. It wasn't too much disrespect with her, but I felt like he could have been more accountable or more understanding of how she felt or how she would feel with him saying certain comments and hanging around certain people. So I felt like he was being a little more avoidant instead of being understanding. Again, it was an interesting season. I do feel like these individuals have some potential for a relationship. I do think that every single person needed some work, some coaching. That's kind of like what all these dating shows. That's why a lot of people are even on these dating shows, because they're not finding love in the real world. So they're like, well, let me give this a try. But it's like, well, why aren't you finding love in the real world? What's going on? What's really going on? Find that out first before you're getting on the show. And then when you're on the show, Love is Blind, Married at First Sight, Ready to Love. Those are the three dating shows I watch. Hey, invite a freaking therapist or dating coach or relationship expert or someone on the show to help these people out. Oh my gosh. Like, there's so much work to be done for these people. And I feel like they're going to get on the show, get more exposure, possibly get more dollars because, all right, they'll get brand deals and stuff like that now. Stuff that doesn't have to even do with love. And they're not really getting what they thought they would get from the show. They're not getting that love that they really want. I also know these networks are looking for entertainment, so they're probably not even caring about real love because that might be too boring. It's like, but can we have one couple, one situation that shows some kind of healthy conversation? Can we do that? I think the very first season, they did show healthy communication. It was the first season of the show. So I think sometimes it's more real when it's the first season because you don't know what to expect. But then afterwards, people start being like, huh, I could get on that show, get some exposure, get my name out there, get a little fame, you know? But make sure you're getting fame for the good reasons. Anyway, I'm done with this episode. I feel like I'm rambling a little bit now, but pretty much I just feel like I hope that each of these cast members learn to take some accountability, learn to understand why they are not finding the love that they really want is because they need to dig deeper and find more of that love within themselves first. Things they need to work on. So I hope they work on it. We'll see. We'll see what this reunion is like today. Anyway, follow me on TikTok at I Am Ashley Caprice. Again, I talked so much about Love is Blind within the past week. I would love to connect with you. If you saw yourself in any of these situations and you're trying to navigate these dating streets, girl, I got you. Make sure to hit me up on my website at gogirlmovement.org. Let's coach. Let's do some coaching. I would love to talk to you about your dating success, your dating struggles. And let's see. Let's see where it is and what blocks you're facing and the reasons why you're not finding the love that you truly deserve. All right. I'm here for you. Can't wait to talk to you again next week. Until next time, take some accountability for your life, okay? It ain't always the other person's fault. I hope you know that. You better know that. Listen to this podcast. All right, girls. I'll talk to you next time. Go, girl. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Go Girl Podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Connect with me on social media at Go Girl Movement or subscribe to the blog at www.gogirlmovement.org. By the way, have you purchased your copy of the Go Girl Guidebook, a woman's interactive guide to self-love? 10 chapters full of ways to love yourself better. It's available right now on Amazon. Thank you for your support. I love you, and I'll talk to you next time. Go, girl.